Amen. That was good, wasn't it? Give him a hand. That's fine. Beautiful songs and scriptural songs, and I like that. If you happen to have your Bible, if you'd look with me just a moment at Luke chapter 24. We're not going to be here a long time, but I just want to make a few comments following the presentation by music. In these verses, Luke 24, this is, of course, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the single thing that makes Christianity what it is, above all other religions, is that our Savior rose. He came out of the grave. Otherwise, we just have another religion. And so the Bible says in Luke 24, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. These ladies came there and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. I like that, don't you? The stone was rolled away. And they entered in and found not. I have that underscored in my Bible, bright green. They found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And I love this verse. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? He told them back there that he was going to see them later and that he would be raised from the dead. So they had a little problem with some of that, but thank God the scriptures are right and they tell us the truth about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why Christianity is what it is. They were reminding us that the Easter story is a story of darkness, and it is, isn't it? How so? Well, from noon until 3 o'clock, there was darkness all over the face of the earth. Why? Why during that period of time? Because Jesus had my sins and your sins placed upon him during that time. And he was separated from the Father in that sense, because he was paying for our sin debt. And the Bible tells us that in that sixth hour from noon until 3 o'clock, there were convulsions on the earth. And there was darkness all over the face of the earth. Why? What a tremendous event it was. It was a picture of our sins being laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know tonight that all of us are sinners. I think probably most of you here would agree with that, because that's exactly what the Bible says. We're sinners. And that sin had to be paid for. And sin is dark. And that's what it all represented. The darkness of our guilt and our sin and all of that placed upon Jesus Christ. The only one it could be placed upon, the only righteous one, was the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a story of darkness and it's a story of love. I like that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth in the gospel, the Easter story of love, where God gave his Son. Jesus, when he died, didn't die as a martyr to a good cause. He didn't die as some great example for us just to live by religiously. He died as our substitute. He died for us because he loved us, and he didn't want us to go to hell. Hell's a real place, and Jesus does not want anybody to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should turn to righteousness and turn to him. It's a whosoever will gospel. And so we know that the Bible teaches us that it is a message of love. God must have loved us a lot to have given his only Son. His only Son. We have a hard time getting a hold of that in the mysteries of eternity, but God's only Son, Jesus Christ, he gave him. He had a plan before the foundation of the world. And that is that his Son die on the cross, and satisfy the righteous demands of a thrice holy God, and there was only one way that we could satisfy those demands, and that's through Jesus Christ. And when he said it is finished, he meant he had paid the sin debt, and God was satisfied with it. He accepted it in full payment, as full payment for anybody who would receive the gift of eternal life, because the unjust were those of us that did not know Jesus Christ, but the one who was just, who was righteous, took our place. He who knew no sin, he who never sinned, became our substitute and died in our place. Thank God for that. It's a story of life. Life. You can't think of Easter without thinking of life. It's not a story so much of death. You get past that. It's a story of life. I like that, the resurrection. Jesus was not there. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He told them, they were sort of like a lot of us Baptists, they were hard-headed and didn't quite comprehend it all, but he told them he was going to come out of the tomb. And then when those ladies went there, Mary Magdalene and Mary and Salome, and when they saw it was empty, boy, were they in for a surprise, a great surprise. Jesus was not there. And Joseph of Arimathea had come and asked for his body, and they were going to wrap it in the linen cloths and all of that. But his body was not left in the tomb where they had placed him, and all the other things had taken place. And these women were coming there to finish the job of anointing the body of Christ, but he wasn't there. Nobody stole his body, and he wasn't in a swoon. That was proven whenever they put the sword in his side on the cross. You don't swoon after somebody does that and all the other things that Jesus went through. Yes, he died. Yes, he was buried. And yes, he came out of the grave. And he led captivity captive, paradise regained, took it up to heaven. Thank God for that. It's a wonderful story of life. It is a story of mystery as they presented. It is a mystery, isn't it? In the Old Testament, they didn't quite comprehend all of that and didn't understand so much of that. God said, I'm going to reveal it and I'm going to show what it is. In the New Testament, we have it unveiled to us. And the mystery is that Jesus paid the sin debt and that we cannot earn it. You can't earn your salvation. Most of you here tonight know that. And if you think you can earn your salvation, you need to understand you can't do it. I talked to a receptionist today in one of the places that I was visiting, one of our people who was in rehab, and talked to her and I asked her if she knew she was going to heaven. And she said, well, I'm trying to do good and I'm trying to do a lot of good things. She said, I'm not, and they always talk like that. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to do as good as I can. Friend, she can do as good as she can all her life, still die without Jesus and miss heaven and die and go to hell. It's more than your good deeds. It's more than your works. And most of you here tonight would know that, I'm sure. But you don't earn your salvation. It's a gift. Jesus paid it all. Every last bit of it. Everything God demanded, Jesus paid for it. Every bit of it. And thank God he did. What a mystery that he would love us. What a mystery that he'd care enough to save us. He didn't have to do that, you know. Nobody answers to God. I mean, God doesn't answer to anybody. We all answer to God. God doesn't answer to anybody. He didn't have to do that, but he loved us, and he did it. What a mystery that he would care enough to give us the plan of salvation. But it's also a message of coronation. He's coming back, and he is Lord of Lords. Long time ago, 2,000 plus years, they planted a crown of thorns, and brother, they were those big old long thorns, I believe, and slammed those things down on his head. They spat upon his face and hit him with rods and abused Jesus and mistreated him. All of those things. Why didn't he wipe them out? He had the power to do it. He did it because he loved you and me tonight. Could we get that? Could we really get a hold of that? That he loved us enough that he did it for us. He took the cross. He took the ignominy and the shame, all of those things. He took all of that so we can go to heaven, so we can be his children. What a wonderful thing it is to know that he did that. What a sad thing it is to know he had to suffer. But his suffering has produced eternal life for those who will accept the gift of eternal life. And one of these days he's going to come back. Thank God he's going to set up his kingdom. And he's going to let the whole world know. So many of them don't believe it today. The vast majority don't believe this book, and they don't believe the truth about Jesus Christ. And so many of them have other religions. And I'm here to tell you tonight there's only one way to heaven. And I don't want to be unnecessarily hateful, but I'm telling you, there's no other religious leader going to get you there. Muhammad won't get you there. Buddha won't get you there. Nobody else. It's Jesus only. Only Jesus Christ. Either that or this Bible's a lie and you can throw it in the garbage can. You wouldn't want to do that. Because it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. Amen. Paid our debt. And he says he is the only way to heaven. There's only one way to get in. And friend, if you haven't taken that way and accepted Christ as your Savior, we're not talking about being a Baptist or a Catholic or a Methodist or Episcopalian or a Lutheran or any other religion. We're talking about being born again. Ye must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? To spiritual birth. Because you're dead in your sins. But when you say yes to God and say, I trust Jesus Christ is my Savior and I commit my life to him, he says, if you'll call on him and ask him, he'll come into your heart. And you're brought to life spiritually then and only then. You can be baptized. You can have the Lord's Supper. You can go through catechisms. You can do anything else you want to as many times as you want to. But you'll never get to heaven until you trust Jesus as your Savior. 61 years ago, I did that. 61 years ago. I can't hardly believe I'm that old. A 9-year-old boy. Now, you can figure the math. But 61 years ago, I received Jesus as my Savior. And I stand here tonight to tell you that I thank God I did. And I have never regretted. And I can pillow my head tonight. And if I die in my sleep tonight, some people do, you know, then I know that I know, no doubt about it, that I'm going to heaven. You say, well, preacher, that's a little arrogant, isn't it? No, it's just Bible. And you know where I'm going, 1 John 5:13. I do it all the time. But these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may hope or reckon, maybe hope so, perhaps get to heaven. No, that you may know that you have eternal life. If you don't know you have it tonight, we're going to give you a chance to get it in a little bit. We'll have an invitation. We always try to give an invitation. And then may I challenge you, if you're saved, you're a child of God. Most of you here tonight no doubt are. But wouldn't it be a good idea for us to somehow remember in a refreshing way, in a new way, in a revived way, that our hearts and emotions would be churned up a little bit and changed. And tonight we would just have a renewed thankfulness and appreciation for what Almighty God has done for us through Jesus Christ. It might even be a good night just to come to the altar and thank him, or to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, whatever God lays on your heart. Let's stand, please. We'll have a song of invitation. And I invite you tonight, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I'll be standing down in the front, but come down and meet me and just say, I want to be saved. And we'll have somebody show you in the Bible real quickly how you can trust Christ. We have people that are ready to do that. If you're a Christian, you just want to come up here and say, Jesus, I love you. And I thank you for dying for me. And I thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection. And I thank you for Easter. You might want to do that. That wouldn't be a bad thing to do tonight. Whatever it may be that God's leading you to do. Father, if there's anyone here tonight who is not sure, he or she is going to heaven, may you get a hold to their hearts and draw them to Christ. I've tried to lead them to him, but I know Holy Spirit, except the Spirit draw them, they cannot be saved. And I pray that you would do your work that you want to do in the hearts of people tonight. Those of us that are saved, God, somehow would you break our hearts afresh tonight? Somehow just let us get a hold of the whole thing in a fresh way, the death, the suffering, the burial, the glorious resurrection of Christ, and probably the very soon coming of Christ. We pray and ask it in His name. Amen. While we sing, God's